How is everyone today? Is everyone good? Yeah. Cool. Well, today I'm going to be talking to you about the book of Joshua and carrying on our theme of taking the land. And I want to discuss with you three principles that we can use to do that. First one is hearing the word of the Lord. Second one is being strong and courageous. And the third one is being obedient. So, exciting stuff. And before I just explore some of these in more detail, I just want to share a little story slash analogy thing with you. Basically, last week, I was walking to work, and this cat started chasing me down the road, and I was just like, oh my gosh, what is it doing? And then it kind of just stopped, and it was like, you know, purring and, you know, wrapping itself around my legs and stroking me, and I was like, okay. And I was like, okay, well, you know, I love cats, but I'm really in a rush to get to work, so, you know, kind of shoo. And then I carried on walking, and it just kept on following me. It was just chasing me down the road. I was like, oh my gosh. So eventually I was just praying, and I was like, God, you know, I'm really in a rush to get to work. Can you please just tell the cat to go away? And I felt like God say that he was like the cat, and basically he was pursuing me. And I feel like this is for all of us, that God's pursuing us, and he just loves it when we give our time and our affection over to him. You know, like cats, they just love it when you give them affection and stuff. I feel like God just say, you know, sometimes we're so much in a rush to be somewhere, and, you know, I've got a lecture, or God, I've got to get to work, or I've got so many things going on, that it's hard to actually give over that time to God. And it just felt like him say he just loves it when we just stop, give that time to him, give that affection over to him. He just wants all of our affections, all of our worship, all of our praise. And he just loves it when we give it to him. So the reason why I shared that is because I just really feel like the basis and the focus of everything I want to say today has to come out of that place of just intimacy with Jesus and that relationship with God. And it's just so key. And the only way that we can go out and take the land is from that place of relationship with God. Okay. So yeah, what does taking the land actually mean? You know, in the time of Joshua, it was more about kind of physical warfare, let's go out and kill everyone. But today is more about, you know, it's a spiritual warfare, and it's about winning over hearts for Jesus and seeing our community transformed by the supernatural power of God. You know, winning back territories that have been stolen by the enemy. And I really just feel like God wants us to know that we are his chosen people. You know, the Israelites were God's chosen people, but we are now, and we belong to God because of what Jesus did on the cross for us. And so just as the Israelites had a promised land, and each and every one of them had an inheritance, we too have an inheritance in the kingdom of God because we are God's chosen people. And so he's given a promised land to each one of us as individuals, but also to us as community. So I really believe that God has put the journey here, this planted this church in Enkerfield Green by Royal Holloway for a reason. And you know, many of you are students at Royal Holloway, or you know, some of us have graduated and stayed on, and God's really put that campus on your heart and put this community on your heart. And I feel like he's done that for a reason, and he wants to use us powerfully to reach out and bring revival into this land. So how do we know what our land is, first of all, and how do we take it? Well, firstly, it's so important that we can hear the word of the Lord. And I really believe that God is always speaking to us, like, all the time. Not just, you know, once a month, once a year. He's speaking to us all the time. And sometimes we just don't know it because we're not listening. And I just feel like God just wants us to know that if we tilt our ears towards him and we give over that time to a God who is pursuing us and who's pursuing our time, then we will hear what he's saying to us, and we will know what our land is, what our sphere of influence is, you know, the people that God's put in our heart. And we'll actually be able to hear the word and take the land through hearing the word of God. So first of all, I want you to turn to Joshua chapter 1. I'm going to read verse 2-6. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the River Jordan into the land that I am about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory extend from the desert to Lebanon, and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give to them." So if you look at the life of Joshua, you know, Joshua was a great leader, and the Lord really used him to take the Israelites into the promised land. He used him to do great things, but it all started with the word of the Lord. You know, God spoke to Joshua and gave him a very specific command, and he promised to always be with them, to never leave them nor forsake him. He promised him this massive amount of land that they were going to take, and he told him to be strong and courageous, you know, and it's this word that enables him to go out. And he carries on speaking to Joshua. He doesn't just speak to him just once, but he speaks to him throughout his whole life. And there's times where he reminds him of the promises that he's given to him, and he uses this to really build him up and encourage him as a leader in what he's called him to do. And he also speaks to him very specifically and gives him instructions which enables him to take the land. And so I just want to look at a few examples in the book of Joshua of how he hears the word of the Lord and uses it. So turn to Joshua 3. In verse 5, Joshua says, Joshua tells the people, "Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you." And then verse 7, the Lord speaks to Joshua and says, "Today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all Israel, so that you may know that I am with you as I am with Moses. Tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of the Jordan's rivers, go and stand in the river." So yeah, the Lord is speaking to Joshua, and he's just made this promise to him that it's going to exalt him as a leader in the land. And then he tells him what to do. And then Joshua repeats this to the Israelites. And he says in verse 10, this is how you will know that the living God is among you, and that he will certainly drive out before you, all your enemies, basically. And in verse 13, "And as soon as the priests who carry the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, set foot in the Jordan, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap." So this is amazing. God's like basically promising them that he's going to cut off the flow of the River Jordan so they can cross over on dry land. It's crazy. Like, it's just totally crazy. And yet this word gives Joshua strength to share this with the Israelites and to really trust in the Lord that he's actually going to do what he said he's going to do. And then we see that the Lord is faithful in verse 17, because he does exactly what he said that he's going to do. It says, "The priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stopped in the middle of the Jordan and stood on dry ground, while all Israel passed by into the whole nation and completed the crossing on dry ground." It's just amazing. Like, but it all started with the word of the Lord. You know, Joshua wouldn't had never been able to do something like that in his own strength. You know, you can't cross over a river. It's only by the hand of God. And then he, in chapter 4, verse 14, it says that the Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they stood in awe of him all the days of his life, just as they stood in awe of Moses. So just as how God had promised Joshua that he would raise him up, he actually kept this promise, and he raised Joshua up in the eyes of all Israel. And they returned to Joshua 6. This is a famous story of the fall of Jericho. In verse 1, it says, "Now the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. No one went out and no one came in." So basically, this is because the people of Jericho are just really scared because of the big bad Israelites. And God is really using them to, you know, take land. And people in Jericho are really scared. So they've barred the city, and no one can come in and no one can come out. But the Lord says to Joshua in verse 2, "See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men." And I just think this is amazing as well. Before they've even done anything, before they've even engaged in any kind of warfare, before they even know what God is asking them to do, God promises that he's already given over that land into their hands. And again, this is the command that gives Joshua the strength and the courage and the obedience that he needs to lead people to take Jericho. But it's kind of in a weird way, because God has crazy strategic warfare plans, which I'm going to read now. So he commands Joshua in verse 3, says, march around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Make 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpets. When you hear them sound a loud, long blast on the trumpets, make the whole army give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse and the army will go up, everyone straight in. So this is kind of crazy, like, how on earth is, you know, marching around a city 7 times going to make the walls fall down? But I think the fact that it's such an impossible strategy brings so much more glory to God, because the only way that this is going to happen is through the supernatural intervention of God, the hand of God in this situation. But again, it was just that word that enabled Joshua to then repeat this to the Israelites, and then they did exactly what the Lord asked them to do. And in verse 20, we see that he does exactly what he said he was going to do. It says, when the trumpet sounded, the army shouted, and at the sound of the trumpet, when the men gave a loud shout, the wall collapsed, so everyone charged straight in, and they took the city, and they devoted the city to the Lord. So yeah, it's just amazing. God always keeps his promises. In Psalm 18:30, it says, the word of the Lord is flawless. Like, God's word is literally perfect. It's amazing. There is nothing bad in it. There is no possibility that anything that the Lord says won't come to fruitfulness. It's just not possible. And in Isaiah 55:11, it says, the word will not return void, but it will achieve everything that it sets out to achieve. And we see this in the life of Joshua and the Israelites, because, you know, they basically end up taking every single land that God has set for them, that God has promised to them. They take every single land, and each of the tribes of Israel receive their inheritance. And in chapter 21, verse 43 to 45, I love this. It says, so the Lord gave Israel all the land he had sworn to give their ancestors, and they took possession of it and settled there. The Lord gave them rest on every side, just as he had sworn to their ancestors. Not one of their enemies withstood them. The Lord gave all their enemies into their hands. Not one of the Lord's good promises to the house of Israel failed. Everyone was fulfilled. So yeah, it's just amazing. God is so faithful, and just as he said he would always be with them, and just as he said he would deliver all their enemies into their hands, and he would give them rest, you know, every single one of the things that he has said in his word to Joshua, he fulfills in the lives of the Israelites. It's just amazing. And it's the same for us, you know. God is so faithful when he speaks something over our lives, you know. When we prophesy over and hear the word of the Lord, we will see the fruit of it in our lives. We will see God doing what he said that he will do in our lives. We don't have to worry about it. And now, you know, we're living in the revelation that Jesus is the word. So when we go out and we take the land, we're going out with the gospel of truth. We're going out with the word of God, which is Jesus. It's amazing. We have this incredible truth. And in the word of God, there's so much freedom. we have had an encounter with God. We've had encounters with Jesus. And when we go out, we're going out with those encounters. You know, we're going out with the truth, and we're going out with the love of God. And we can see our communities transformed by the love of God through Jesus. And in Hebrews 4:12, it says that the word is sharper than any double-edged sword, and it has power to, you know, pierce people's lives with the truth of who Jesus is. So how can we hear the word of the Lord? We can hear it in so many ways, you know, through the Bible passages. And I just want to encourage all of us that when we read the Bible, just to ask the Holy Spirit to be our teacher, to be our guide. You know, when we read in the Bible, he can just bring fresh revelation to us about the promises that he has for our lives, about the things that he's calling us to do, about who God is, how amazing God is. He can really speak to us through his word. And we can also just listen to God and hear his voice. You know, we give that time over to him. You know, maybe just wake up 10 minutes a bit earlier every day and just say, hey, what do you want to say to me today, Lord? What do you have for me today? Because God always wants to speak to us every single day. And so we just need to open our ears up to him and say, Lord, just speak to me. What do you want to show me? And also, like, prophetic words is really powerful as well. You know, I just want to encourage us all. Like, it's so great what we were doing before, you know, praying for each other, prophesying over each other. Because prophecy is meant to strengthen, encourage, and build each other up. You know, and that's what prophecy does. So when we prophesy over each other, we're putting courage into one another. We're putting courage into another. We're speaking the word of God, the truth over each other's lives. Because sometimes the things that we believe about ourselves or about other people aren't true. But if we hear the truth of what God says about us, then that can really build us up and give us the courage we need to step into the call that God has placed on our life and to take the land. So yeah, I just want to move on now to being strong and courageous. So hearing the word of the Lord is powerful, and it can really give us that strength and that courage to step out and do what the Lord's called us to do. But I felt like the Lord say that is a choice, like it's a day-to-day choice to co-partner with God and the Holy Spirit to step out. And I think sometimes, you know, I know this for myself, you know, sometimes I pray for opportunities, you know, I pray for opportunities every single day for God to use me, and the opportunities always come. But there's times when, you know, I choose to step out, and there's times when I don't choose to step out. And when I do, I'm just like amazed by what God does, like how he encounters people. But there's times when I'm just like, oh, you know, this person needs healing, but I just don't take that little bit of an extra step and ask them if they want healing. But I feel like God's saying, you know, it's a day-to-day choice to partner with him to see his purposes achieved on the earth. But we need to choose to, when we have those opportunities, to step out. And we will be amazed by what God does in us and through us. And, you know, we see in the life of Joshua that he doesn't just say, you know, be strong and courageous one time. He repeats it several times. He repeats it again and again. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. And the reason for this is because what he was calling Joshua to do was really scary. You know, he must have saw this massive mountain ahead of him and thought, oh God, you know, I can't do this. And why have you chosen me? You know, why me? I can't do this, God. And sometimes, you know, it might feel the same for us. We have this massive thing ahead of us, you know, we feel like God's given us big dreams to take the land, but how do we overcome this mountain? But God is just saying, you know, just be strong and be courageous and choose to step out of your comfort zones. And believe that being strong and courageous, again, it just comes out of that place of knowing God's presence. We know that we don't have to do this in our own strength. We're doing it in the power of the Holy Spirit and not out of the flesh. So it's not like an earthly attempt to be like, yeah, we're going to do this for God. But actually, in the power of the Spirit, we can do all things. And it says in verse, you know, chapter 1, verse 5 to 6. It says, no one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous. So I think God's done this deliberately. He's made a choice of before saying, be strong and courageous and step out and lead the people into land. He says, first of all, you know, I will never leave you or forsake you. I will be with you. So it's really important for us to know that for us to be strong and courageous and step out and take the land, we need to first know that God is with us. He's got our back. You know, he's never going to ever, ever leave us or forsake us or say, oh yeah, go and do it alone. But he's with us. It's a co-partnership to see his will come on earth as it is in heaven. And out of courage comes great fruitfulness as well. And yeah, we see this in the life of Joshua. I just want to look at Joshua 10. So basically the story here is that the Gibeonites deceived the Israelites, and because of that they decided, it's kind of a bit complicated, they decided not to kill them, but instead they would be their servants. And the five Amorite kings were a little bit annoyed with this because they felt that the Gibeonites had betrayed them by making a pact with the Israelites. And so they decided to gang up against the Gibeonites. But the Gibeonites pleaded with the Israelites to protect them, to fight for them. And basically, you know, if I was an Israelite, I'd just be like, sorry, but, you know, I'm not going to defend you. But instead, Joshua listened to the word of God, which he says, okay, so in verse 7, Joshua marched up from Gilgal with the entire army, including all the best fighting men. And the Lord said to Joshua, do not be afraid of them. I have given them into your hand. Not one of them will be able to withstand you. And then after an all-night march from Gilgal, Joshua took them by surprise. The Lord threw them into confusion before Israel. So Joshua and the Israelites defeated them completely at Gibeon. So yeah, what the Lord was asking them to do was scary because, you know, can you imagine five kings join forces? This must have been an absolutely massive army of people, which against the Israelites, you know, they would have been tiny in comparison. And yet God says, you know, don't be afraid, I'm going to deliver them into your hands. But it took great courage and strength on the part of Joshua to actually say, okay, God, I'm going to trust in you and I'm going to fight against these men, because they could have in theory lost all of their fighting men. But again, God just showed up and he did the miraculous. He threw them into confusion. You know, what does that even mean, threw them into confusion? It wasn't like they just went and they battled against them, but God threw them into confusion, and it's because of that that they won the battle. So, yeah, it's just amazing. And it's the same with us, you know. I think when we step out, when we choose to step out, God just really honours it. And the reason for this is just like, it's God's heart just to meet with every single person in the entire world. Like, it's just like blows me away. Like, Jesus just loves everyone so much, and he just really wants to encounter every single person. He wants them to be healed. He wants, you know, people that are lonely and rejected to find his love. You know, there's so many broken people, and it's like in that song, you know, in your kingdom broken lives are made new. You know, God loves everyone, and he's using us. You know, it's Christ in us, the hope of glory. You know, he's using us as his vessels to bring his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. And you know, it's only as we step out and we're obedient to God that he can really move and really encounter people on a day-to-day basis. And you know, it's like what Laura was saying last week about the butterfly effect. I thought it was really cool, and how like one small act of courage, you know, even just a smile or a kind word, or just sharing the gospel with someone, or just taking that little step of faith and just asking someone if they want prayer, you know, it can have a massive impact in someone's life, and you don't know the fruit that will bear in their life and other people's lives. You know, it could have an impact in hundreds of people's lives. You just don't know. It's just a small act of courage can have a massive impact. And we know that, like, there's no reason for us to fear, because, again, in that song, it was really powerful. It's like, in your presence, all our fears are washed away. It's like, in God's perfect love, it casts out all fear. And we know that God is always with us, so we don't need to be afraid. And God's given us every tool that we need. You know, he's given us the armor of God. You know, we are wearing the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the sword of the Spirit. You know, he's given us what we need to fight and what we need to defend our land. He's given us the tools that we need to step out in courage and to bring the love of God to the nations of this world, and to see this nation changed by the love of God. I've touched on it a little bit, you know, being strong and courageous is an act of obedience. The only way that we can be strong and step out is if we're obedient to God. And obedience comes out of that place of relationship. You know, it's not about an obligation, oh God, I have to obey you. You know, it's about, I love you, Jesus, and I really, really want to obey you. I'm not your slave, I'm your son, I'm your daughter, I'm your friend. And so it's a joy to honour you, it's a joy to do your will and your purposes, it's a joy to obey what you've asked me to obey. And we see in chapter 1, verse 7-9, the importance of obeying the word of God. But I really believe that, like, God's saying this to Joshua out of a place of friendship. Like, he really wants him to obey his commands and the word of God because he loves him. It says, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it from the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Yeah, so there's just like this link here between, you know, when we obey the word of God, when we listen to the word of God, you know, we will be prosperous in the lives that he's called us to lead, because we're not living our lives for ourselves anymore. We're living our lives for God. And yeah, we just want to, you know, follow Jesus and follow the commands in his word. And again, I just see in the life of Joshua that he was a real friend of God. Like you can so see in the way that he followed him, that he was so obedient. Just every single time that God spoke to him, he always obeyed him, like without fail. And it was because he had total dependency on the Lord, total trust in his faithfulness, that every time that he spoke to him, he always fulfilled what he was saying. And, you know, I really believe that Joshua was a man that was living out of the revelation that we can do nothing apart from God. And I really believe that's the same for us. It's like we can do nothing apart from God. But with God, all things are possible. Like nothing is impossible with God. It's so amazing. And so, yeah, I just feel like God wants us to live out of that revelation that Joshua was living out of, that we can do nothing apart from him. But with him, we can do incredible things. You know, we can see this land like transformed. We can see people's lives impacted by God's love. We can see more people getting healed, more people getting saved. It's just, yeah, it's exciting. Yeah, and again, you know, we are followers of Jesus, and I don't think there's any like greater example of obedience than Jesus. there's no greater example. You know, yeah, he was totally like in love with God. You know, he was God's son, and everything that he did for God, and he did nothing apart from God, and he only did what he saw the Father doing. And you know, Jesus just, he was so obedient to God that he was willing to humble himself even to the point of death on a cross. You know, he died the most horrific way because he knew it was the only way that we could have a relationship with, like, Papa God. He just knew it was the only way that separation between God and man could be brought back together and we could have a relationship with God. And just think it's so amazing. And if we just look at him, we can see how we can be obedient to God. I mean, obviously, we wouldn't have to die on a cross, but you know, maybe, says Vicky. Hopefully not. yeah. And in John 15 it says, you know, Jesus asks us to abide in him and he will abide in us. And it's only out of that place of intimacy that we can be obedient to God, and out of that obedience comes great fruitfulness in our lives as we just trust wholeheartedly in God and in the plans that he has for us. And God's greatest commandment to us is to love, to love God and to love each other as we love ourselves. And I just really believe this needs to be like the motivation for everything that we do. It has to come out of that place of knowing the love of God and just asking God just to show us his love for other people. Because if we go out and it's not about love, then, you know, people aren't going to see anything different in us. You know, we are carriers of the love of God. We are ambassadors of Christ. And that's what people will see that's different in us. They will see a light in us that's different to what everybody else has. And it's that love. It's that love. And it has to be the motivation. And I just feel like in prophetic that God's saying at the moment that he's raising up a love army of laid down lovers that are just totally on fire for God, just passionately in love with Jesus, and have just given over their lives to follow him. And I just really feel so blessed to be part of this church, because I really feel like this church is full of just laid down lovers that are just on fire for God and just totally laid down for him and just living a life of obedience to him. And just think it's awesome. And I just really believe that through us he is going to bring great revival to this land. He's going to do amazing things in this nation and the nations of the world, you know. And there's this prophetic word over us that what is sown here will be reaped in the nations. And that's something that's really spoken to me, because, you know, what we're doing here, it's amazing here, but it's going to go beyond that. It's going to go and it's going to affect people all over the world. That's just like, let's get excited about that. Yeah. Is anyone excited about that? Yeah. Awesome. Okay. Gosh, that was really quick. Really fast. Yeah, so it's important that we just, yeah, to bring that revival to this land. We just really need to hear the word of God. Just hear God speaking to us. and just step out in that courage and obedience to him that just comes out of that place of just knowing God and just being in relationship with him. Like, it's just how it has to come from that place, and just knowing that God just loves us so much and he's just pursuing us every single day. He's pursuing us. So yeah, just to end, I've basically rewritten part of chapter 1 of Joshua, and and I've entitled it "The Lord Commands the Journey." So I'd like you to close your eyes, and I just really want to pray that the Holy Spirit will just speak to every one of us, because God, I just want to thank you that you are the same God yesterday, today and forever. You are the same God as the God of Joshua, and I just want to thank you that just as you commanded him, Lord, that you are also commanding us. And I just want to pray, Holy Spirit, you just come and just minister to each one of us, God, and just really reveal yourself to us, Lord. Reveal your purposes for us as a church, Lord, for us as individuals, God. Just reveal to us what you have for us, Lord, in taking the land. Amen. Now then, children, get ready to cross over into the land I am about to give you. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses and Joshua. Your territory will extend from Enfield Green to Raw Holloway, all over Egham and to the Great River in Staines, even to all over the UK and to the nations of the world. Yeah. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses and Joshua and David and Jesus, so I will be with you. I will never, ever, ever leave you nor forsake you, my beloved children. Be strong and courageous, because you will inherit the land that I swore to those that have gone before you in this place. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey the word. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the Lord depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful in what I have called you to do. Have I not commanded you, my beloved children? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Never be discouraged or lose faith. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go.